Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Who is Jesus? At the beginning of today's gospel lesson, Jesus is simply a thirsty man sitting by a well, conversing with a Samaritan woman. By the end of the text, Jesus identifies himself as the Messiah, and the people of that Samaritan village have come to know him as the Savior. It's kind of interesting that in John, fairly close to the beginning of the gospel, we are told point blank who Jesus is. And then we can read the rest of the gospel in the light of that knowledge. It's not like the gospel of Mark that has its messianic secret and it's like nobody knows and it's finally, you know, the one of the centurions at the crucifixion who figures out who Jesus really is. In the gospel of John, it is right up front out there. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Last week's gospel text contained in it that very famous verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It answers the question, who is this message for? It makes it clear that God has a word for the whole world. And in this particular story, we see a very real broadening out of the scope of Jesus' ministry. You see, Jews generally avoided going through Samaria. I looked at the map, and while the closest, you know, distance is, you know, straight through Samaria, Jews generally avoided that. They went around to the edge and kind of snuck around the edge of Samaria because they really didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. So the fact that Jesus chose to travel through Samaria and the fact that Jesus chose to engage with this woman at the well all of a sudden tells us and told his disciples that this message was not just for the Jewish people. It was much more broadly addressed than that. And we're told he stayed there an extra couple of days. And I can't imagine that the disciples were extremely thrilled about that. I'm sure they were sitting back going, what are we doing in Samaria with these people? But Jesus made it very clear that it was these people also for whom he came. And then we think about what is the fundamental message. And we see that in the beginning of today's letter, Paul's letter to the Romans. He uses words like justification and reconciliation. People who were somehow disconnected from God are brought back into relationship with God. And that is the ongoing work of God. Every time there's anybody that is disconnected from God, God's desire is to be reconciled. God's desire is to be reconnected. And we are justified by grace through faith. The fact that we are in that relationship with God is purely and simply a gift of God. It's not because we happen to be the people who are good enough for it. Hate to tell you this, but there are no people who are good enough for it. It has everything to do with God's love for the world and God's desire to be in relationship with people. Last week in our text, we are told that we needed to be born from above. We needed to be born of water and spirit. And today's text, we see an exploration of that metaphor of water related to the spirit and to new life. The Samaritan woman, it took her a while to kind of clue into the fact that she was talking about physical water in a well. And Jesus was talking about something very much different. Jesus was talking about the life and the power of the Spirit within a person. The Samaritan woman went through a lot of hard work to get her water. you know, putting the bucket down and hauling the bucket up and then having to carry the bucket a fair distance. We go to our kitchens and we turn the tap on and we have water. So we tend to think water is maybe not such a big deal. But even in Canada, there are places where people do not have fresh, clean water that they can just go to their tap and open the tap. And I read stories about people who live in other parts of the world, like Africa, where people spend half their day just walking all the distance to the well and bringing the water back because they live so far away from the water. The Samaritan woman was used to the idea of getting water as being hard work. And Jesus was saying to her, I have water to give you that is not about your hard work. It's a gift. And the water that he was referring to was the life of the Spirit, welling up within us to eternal life. And then he throws in that interesting line about worship. We understand worship as what we do on Sunday mornings, but if we understand worship as only what we do on Sunday mornings, we have a very, very narrow definition of worship. Because worship is about the whole of our life being faced in the direction of God and giving God our praise and adoration and having a life that is centered on God. The Samaritan woman wanted to debate with Jesus about where are you supposed to worship. The Samaritans thought that they were supposed to worship on Mount Gerizim, that that was the holy place, that that was the place that God expected worship to happen. The Jews, of course, said, no, it's Jerusalem. It's the temple at Jerusalem. That's where all true worship is really centered. And Jesus said, it's not going to be too much longer and you're not going to be worshiping in either place. So does it really matter where you worship? And I think Jesus' answer to that question is no. It matters that you worship. And it matters that this worship is, as he put it, in spirit and truth. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So I found myself thinking a little bit about, so what does that mean? Obviously, if we are worshiping in spirit, to me that means that we are worshiping in a way that is led and guided and propelled by the Spirit of God. It's almost as if worship is not our gift to God, but worship is, first of all, God's gift that flows through us back to God. That's what I think true worship is about. And it's about truth. It's about worship that is grounded in the truth of who Jesus is, the truth of what the Word of God says. This particular text is fascinating because, and it's one of the longest gospel texts in the entire lectionary, because Jesus wants to point people, first of all, to who he is and how it is that they are to worship in the future. And this is not the only time that we see this metaphor of water and new life. In Revelation, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. You know, I read a little bit about our physical need for water. And did you know that by the time you physically feel thirsty, you're already dehydrated? Yeah. And so I started thinking about that in spiritual terms. Does that mean that by the time it crosses our mind that maybe we want to turn to God, we're already spiritually dehydrated? And as Jemima mentioned, in the wilderness, you have to have your bottle of water. And when I went to Israel, they always asked us before we got on the bus, do we have our bottles of water? Do we have our bottles of water? And we needed to keep drinking those bottles of water so that we wouldn't end up dehydrated at the end of the day. Maybe this is an invitation for us to keep drinking the water of life, keep opening ourselves to God's Spirit and to the truth of God's Word. Jesus' invitation is to us, but we also have an invitation that we are privileged to share. And so my prayer is that God would give us opportunities, as the Samaritan woman went back and told people about this Christ that she had met and everything that he had known about her and the new life that he had offered. My prayer is that God would give us opportunities to share the excitement and the opportunity of that new life in Christ. Amen.